हाय, आई एम सत्यजीत सिंह सेंगर प्रिय. नाउ लेट्स बिगिन विथ द हार्डीज व्यू ऑन नेचर. टू हार्डी, द अर्थ एंड इट्स एटर्नल एक्सप्रेशन. नेचर आर द परमानेंट बैकग्राउंड अगेंस्ट विच मैन लिव्स हिज ब्रीफ लाइफ ऑफ प्लेजर एंड पेन एंड पासेज अवे मेकिंग रूम फॉर हिज सक्सेसेस. सो लॉन्ग एज ही लिव्स एंड मूव्स एमंग ऑब्जेक्ट्स ऑफ नेचर, इट इंटरप्रेट्स हिम. The vexes people living in the close contact with nature are its vital growths and manifestations. Divorced from the scenery, they are weak and meaningless. Moving in it, they are so much a part of it that express its primeval grandeur. Like Wordsworth and possibly in a higher degree, Hardy shows his sympathy between man and nature. His pigeons are as much products of a particular soil as the very glades in which they live. In his deep reverence towards the earth and man's work upon it, Hardy desires to come at the very heart of life, amidst its various forms and manifestations. Agriculture has a special charm for him, and he sees in it the most natural, simple, and imperious necessity of man labor for our daily bread. Hardy is a worshipper of nature, and his reverent attitude towards her controls and colors all his writings. Towards religion in the conventional sense, his temper is hostile. He is a pagan whose faiths and sentiments are rooted in the distant past. Such religious sentiments as he has attached themselves to things immemorially sacred. The sun, the moon, the stars, the march of seasons, the loom of silent powers weaving the wave of life, the worship of fecundity, the spirit of creativeness, the sense of the eternal in time. The worship of the sun appears to him the sunset religion under the sky. The rising sun is a golden-haired, beaming, mild-eyed, god-like creature, going down in the vigor and intentness of the youth upon an earth that was brimming with interest for him. The sun had a personal look, demanding the masculine pronoun for its adequate expressions. The Ogden Heath is the type of the eternal in a nature, a brooding and shaping presence that touches the actors in the drama of life generation after generation. In this art of producing entire sympathy between man and his surrounding scene, Hardy is supreme. Nature herself breathes and speaks through them, and they are the obedient servants of her will. Hardy does not depict scenery so much as he renders the spirit of scenery through appropriate human centers, that is, human personifications in whom its peculiar qualities are concentrated. Nature sublimes the life and thoughts of people who are otherwise quite ordinary. For Hardy, seasons have their moods, morning and evening, night and noon have their temperaments, winds, trees, waters, clouds, silences and constellations have their dispositions, and all speak in voices audible to the spirit. Hardy is a master interpreting the external world. Her bitter experience, a sudden gust of wind through the roadside trees and hedges on a starlit night, is the sigh of some immense soul, conterminous with the universe in space and with history in time. Upon taste of the war valley, after the revival of her drooping spirits, the trees look down with inquisitive eyes. We are throughout kept in touch with the spirit of nature and antiquity and pagan imaginations. As Tess moved through the meadows in morning light, her head rising above the low-lying mist, she is to Angel Clare the Maya Magdalen or Artemis or Demeter. A rough table and at evening is Cybele the many-breasted, reclining without stretched limbs. Salisbury, plain at the approach of morning, is a mighty being waking from sleep. With this power of translating large effects in scenery of sea, sky, and broad head, Hardy combines the most observant eye for a minute and humble details in ordinary landscape. There is no book of Hardy that does not abound in nature pictures, some delicately sketched, some composed of broad masses of colors, but all carefully observed by a consummate artist. But their chief quality lies in their relation to human destinies. Nature and man are constantly engaged in expressing the same thought. Hardy shows in places a wonderful, even uncanny knowledge of the science and simple terms of nature, secrets that are instinctively known by the brute creation and not altogether hidden from people living in close touch with nature. The coming one on of winter with accompanying frost and snowstorm in stealth measured glides, the moves of a chess player step by step is wonderfully described in Tales of the D'Urbervilles. The description of the frost-beaten polar birds, jaunt spectral creatures with tragic eyes, eyes which had witnessed scenes of cataclysmic horror in inaccessible polar regions, which had beheld the crash of icebergs and the slide of snow hills by the shooting light of the aurora, fills with a terror almost elemental in its nature. The indications of a coming thunderstorm perceived by Gabriel Oak in Far From the Madding Crowd similarly strikes the reader with a strange fear so magical the warning of nature appears to the ordinary man. The richness of the world of wonder is opened before us, and we come to comprehend dimly and slowly how the life of laboring man is acted upon by nature. They live in the society of trees, winds and waters. They find companionship in creatures of the woodland and the field. Their hopes, fears, experiences, the faith and love, sorrow and hate are nourished by the mighty mother. Hardy appears to have a devotion to the stars and night. He has a vivid sense of the poetry of the motion of the heavenly bodies, but is also bewildered by the immensity of the starred world. His sense of the terrible at the heart of nature makes his contemplation of the universe gloomy.